The deck in December means 10, despite December being the 12th month of the year. The phrase snowed under has its roots in the 19th century, conjuring the image of being overwhelmed by paperwork, akin to being buried under a blanket of white snow. And the etymology of the word glove has a connection to being aloof. This episode uncovers etymologies of words associated with winter. Etymology is the study of the origins of words. I'm Leon, and this is Etymolion. Winter covers the months of December to February in the Northern Hemisphere. Astronomically, winter starts on December 21st and ends on March 20th. Meteorologically, winter starts December 1st and ends on the last day of February. The word winter has been with us since the Old English period, covering the 5th to the 12th century. Being a Germanic word, it shares its root with the German winter, the Dutch winter, the Norwegian winter, and the Icelandic vinter, which all mean winter. Anglo-Saxons used winters to count years. So today, we might say that King Charles III has reigned for 1 year. Back then, the same sentence would be, King Charles III has reigned for 1 winter. Winter is also a female given name, and appeared at 266 in the list of popular baby girls' names in England and Wales for 2021. Snow, sleet, frost, and ice are atmospheric conditions linked to the cold chill of winter. They all go back to Old English and are similar to their modern English forms. Snow comes from the Old English snore. As for frost, both frost and forced, F-O-R-S-T, were used during the Old English period. Another example of a word with a letter shift is the word bird, which in the Middle English period was brid. B-R-I-D. Back to Frost, and Frost is a common surname. There are theories behind the origin of the surname, and both of them count Frost as a nickname surname. The first theory being that the surname Frost comes from an ancestor with an icy disposition. The second is that an ancestor who first had the surname had frost-like hair. Frost is actually one of the earliest recorded surnames found in 11th century records, before surnames became commonplace. Ice in its Old English form was is. As a slang term, ice is a synonym for diamonds, a nod to the crystal-like similarities between the rock and frozen water blocks. Sleet is a 13th century word written as sleet, S-L-E-T-E. Cold goes back to the Old English word cold, and chill to the Old English chile. Chill, as in to relax, is a term that comes from the late 1970s. The phrase Netflix and chill was first used on Twitter in 2009 by the user NoFaceNina to describe relaxing and watching Netflix videos. By 2015, to Netflix and chill became a euphemism for housemates of a romantic or sexual nature. The deck in December means 10. You'll spot it in words like decade, decimal, and decathlon. although December is the 12th month of the year. It used to be the 10th. December was the final of 10 months in the ancient Roman calendar. January is named after the ancient Roman god of doorways and new beginnings, Janus. Janus is connected to the Latin word janua, meaning a door. That gives us the word janitor, a US term for a building caretaker that had an earlier meaning of doorkeeper. February is named after the ancient Roman festival of purification, Februa. Hot chocolate is enjoyed throughout the year, but it's heavily associated with winter. The word chocolate comes from the Nahuatl chocolat. Nahuatl is a language of Mexican origin, still spoken today but considered vulnerable. In the 16th century, Spanish soldier explorers brought chocolate and the name back to Europe. Mesoamericans enjoyed chocolate by mixing cocoa with cornmeal, chili peppers, and water. In Europe, drinking chocolate melted in water or milk was popular from the 17th century, with sugar added for sweetness. Hot chocolate is also referred to as cocoa, as is the powder from which it is made. That comes from the Nahuatl language too, with the word cacatl. Cacatl also gives us the word cacao, which we use to refer to the raw cocoa bean. So chocolate comes from a native South American language. Hot is from the Old English hot. Another winter drink with hot in its name is a hot toddy. A warm drink combining whiskey, honey, lemon, cinnamon and clove. The name toddy is thought to be inspired by an Indian drink, taddy or tarry, which was a drink made from fermented palm sap. Tarry and taddy in English were 17th century words meaning such, but by the 18th century morphed into toddy and referred largely to a drink made from liquor, lemon, honey, and spices. Another winter-spiced drink is mulled wine. In this sense, mulled is a 17th century word. It's not clear why it's called mulled, but it suggested that the process of grinding spices for the drink is the origin. The Middle English mullen meant to soften, grind, or dissolve. And that gives us the word mull. Wine comes from the Old English win, which was inspired by the Latin vinum. Wintry weather inspires a number of idioms and expressions. Snowed under describes the feeling of being bogged down with work. It was supposedly first used in the late 19th century to describe what we would call today being snowed in. Snowed under is then said to have become an expression to signify being busy in reference to being buried in mountains of paperwork, which is usually white like snow. Snowball effect expresses a situation that starts small and is often insignificant, before picking up steam at a faster pace. Just like a snowball, rolling down a hill, getting bigger as it picks up more snow. Snowball in this sense was first thought to have been used in 1929. Snow is also used informally to refer to cocaine, and that's first attested to 1914. Like snow, ice is an element that finds itself used in common expressions, such as break the ice, cold as ice, and on thin ice. Break the ice, meaning to initiate a conversation in an awkward situation, goes back to the 16th century, when ice was broken to allow ships to navigate frozen waters. The shift in meaning occurred in the late 17th century, seen in the poem Hudibras by Samuel Butler in 1664. I quote, "The orator at last broke silence and the ice." Someone emotionally distant or unmoved may be described as being cold as ice. Cold, to describe someone's personality or demeanour, can be traced back to around the 10th century. Someone in a precarious position can be said to be on thin ice, suggesting they've been treading on unstable ground. This expression goes back to 1884. Other icy phrases include ice queen, a woman with a lack of compassion, attested to the early 19th century. Icing on the cake, something that makes a good thing even better, is from the mid-20th century. And to put something on ice, postponing action for later, is from 1575. Let's delve into the origins of winter clothing words. Coat is a 14th century noun from the Old French cot, C-O-T-T-E, and that came from the Latin cotta, but it was borrowed into Latin from a Germanic root, which has an unknown etymology. Glove is from the Old English glof. The root of that is a Proto-Germanic word, lofo, which meant the palm of the hand. It's also responsible for a 13th century word, loof, which was used in Northern and Scottish dialects, again meaning the palm of the hand, or a paddle, which led to loof in this sense coming to be associated with the direction of a ship, keeping it at a distance from danger. And that's where the word aloof, used to describe someone distant, comes from. Scarf comes from the Old Northern French écharpe and goes back to the 16th century. And sock goes back to the ancient Greek soukos, which was a type of shoe. What Americans refer to as sweaters, the British call jumpers. Sweaters are intended to keep you warm so as to sweat. Sweat goes back to the Old English swat, but sweater, as in the clothing, came later in the 19th century. As for jumper, in the 18th century, a jump was a short coat worn by men, or a bodice, similar to a corset, worn by women. By the 19th century, the item of clothing that we know today started to be referred to as a jumper. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the podcast. I hope it's inspired you to look up the history behind words that are part of your daily vocabulary. Remember, language, history, etymologies, and pronunciations can be complex and elusive. Keep in mind that there may be conflicting explanations and ideas behind the origins of words. Follow the podcast for more episodes.